Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be, that you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of, that you deserve the existence you have been given or it would not have been granted to you, that you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light, for you are nothing else.
And welcome to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. I want to thank everybody who's listening in, got here on time, early, who's listening in tonight. And again, this is Revolutionary Life. This is the radio show here on Blog Talk. that deals with all the things in our life that affect us directly and some indirectly. But we take a revolutionary point of view. That is to say, the revolutionary looks at life and he knows that there's change. Change is constant. What makes a revolutionary is that the revolutionary is on the vanguard. What makes a reactionary is someone who tries to hold back that change. This is revolutionary life. We look at every aspect of our lives from a revolutionary point of view. Tonight, our conversation is on education. What do you know? Education. And we ask the question, being educated in, definitely education, but being educated in what, by who, and for what end? Yes, tonight we're going to talk about education. And as I went to school in the U.S., I went to public school, primary, secondary schools. I attended universities because I moved around. I said universities because I had to move around a bit. But, and everything from community, a little time in community, state universities, that kind of thing. And as a result, I also teach now. I am an instructor right now. I mean, every week. And so from that perspective, I think I got a handle on education in this country. What I'm missing, guys, and I don't mind admitting it, is a private school education. Some of you have had that opportunity, and maybe you can relate. I haven't. But I've been educated. I've been educated by the public school system. And I can talk on that. Because I've been there, done that. Got the dirty T-shirt. And if you have too, I need you to listen to me tonight. Because if you have kids coming up just going to school, they're finna get educated. You want them to be educated. Right? When you have questions, you want to be educated. But you want to be educated properly without a motive of some kind. You know, you might be being steered in a certain educational direction that you might not be aware of as a child. As you get older, as you begin to attend these educational institutions that the public provides, state, local, and federal, once you begin to experience these institutions, you get another look at education. You get a chance to see it from its inside out. And if you work at a university as an educator, oh, you get the inside out, baby. And so we're going to talk about education in this country, well, probably all over the world, but we're definitely going to talk about education in the U.S. How we get our information and what we teach our kids and what's going on with education right now in the U.S. What about our educational secretary, DeVos? what are we going to do? How is this thing going to go down? So let's check this out. Common Core. Anybody heard of Common Core education, the new education? We're going to talk a little, we're going to hit on a lot of things. Charter schools, vouchers, a lot of good stuff. So I want you to hang in there tonight, and let's get educated together. This is a call-in show, and there got to be some educators out there. Hey, just ain't me, guys. So tonight, we're going to deal with education. And we got a call-in show. This is a call-in show. So at a certain point, I am going to announce the part of the show that's called in. I'm going to give that number out. I'm going to open up my chat room, and we're going to go at it. We're going to get to it. And so, but first of all, I'm going to give you a little music, and I'll be right back. Welcome to Revolutionary Life, guys. We're here tonight. We're here every weekday night. As a matter of fact, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Every Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, Revolutionary Life will be on this channel here at Blog Talk Radio. And ain't no telling what the subject might be, but I can guarantee you it's going to be something that affects our lives every day, directly and indirectly, that we probably should be checking on. You know, revolution is nothing but change by definition. And change is what the And change is what a lot of things need right now. Serious change, some radical change, some changes that are diametrically opposed to what we got going on right now. So tonight, we're talking education. As an educator, and primarily through public education, which is my primary concern, however, what's happening right now in the educational field, one of the things, is the introduction of more and more privatized, privately run education, education for profit. In previous presentation, and you guys know, those who listen regularly or those who do not, you right now, where you are, if you're on this channel, you can always scroll down and find my on-demand section. On-demand section has all these old episodes, past episodes, right? One of them, and maybe we hit on the subject in several of them, really, but one of them specifically talked about government, public business, public responsibilities, governmental, constitutionalized responsibilities, and businesses and private institutions. In there, I said, let's start very fundamental. The beginning of a government agency, whether it's Health and Human Services or the Department of this or that, in opening and developing that department, they have a founding. They have founding documents. Why does this department needs to exist? And everybody who works in that department will get a chance. Hopefully, have access to reading the mission statement of these governmental agencies. And almost every time you read a public department's mission statement, its reason for being, a statement of purpose, somewhere in there you're going to see for the public good. Now, whether they carry that out or not, you're going in a public public institution, founding documents or mission statement will be there, and that mission statement somewhere in there may include the words for the public good. Now, then there's private enterprises, businesses, corporations. They have mission statements. When you start a corporation, you set up some founding documents. And in there you say what your purpose is, their statement of purpose or mission statement or statement of purpose, reason for being. And somewhere in there, in those founding documents, you're probably going to find something that speaks to the greater benefit of the shareholders and stockholders of the company. It better include that, or shareholders and stockholders are going to worry about what are you here for if you're not to make us more money. And so somewhere in the documents of a corporation will be something that will introduce a sentence that would in a statement of purpose. And oftentimes in that statement of purpose in a corporation, it's going to have some words about increasing or for the benefit of their stockholders. All right? And this is not, I'm not making this up, guys. You know, corporations all have their founding documents. And so my point is that behavior, If you review behavior and possible behaviors, you have to understand that these two institutions, public ones and private ones, have total different reasons for being in their documentation, in their statement of purpose, in their mission statement. One of them has your interest in heart. It says it right there, public good. The other one has the stockholders and stakeholders and shareholders in mind. as its primary purpose. As one of its statement, one of its primary purposes, right? Of course, profits is another one, but increasingly, the wealth of their shareholders, the benefit of their shareholders, the interests of their shareholders are going to be primary, right? And so you look at everybody's reason for being, and then you decide what you, what, you wonder why a public service would turn over a public responsibility to a private concern to run. We're talking privatization, we're talking contracting out. Your government, our government, state, federal, and local, especially my little city, has, and I'm sure in the federal government even, has managed to take public services, those things that used to be part of the public's wealth, public land, public parks, public libraries, prisons, are now privatized. And so the prisons are, so, and we talked about, I think we talked about that in another presentation, how the public viewed prisons and how private organizations views the imprisonment for pay. And what do those lead to, and what kind of differences do the, do you see when they, when under the tutel, under the control of government versus under the control of a private business? A private business is going to run that operation. I don't care what kind of public. Hey, McDonnell Douglas is an airline producer. They build airlines, airplanes, right? Big company. They offered Texas that they would take over all their delivery of all their social services. An airline, I mean, an airplane production company, McDonnell Douglas, offered to take over the social service. We can do it cheaper, they said. Come on, guys. We got private armies. You've heard of Blackwater. Over there, while we're fighting with soldiers, over a plane will land in Afghanistan full of mercs. And they've been around a long time, soldiers of fortune, mercs, people who fight for money. We hire them now. The government used to... run wars. Now, privatization of certain things, business in certain areas, makes sense. But when it comes to the public, when it comes to governing, when it comes to taking care of a population, if you run for office to do so, if it comes to looking after the interest of the people who voted for you because they thought you said you were going to look after their interests, they take your interest and they might carry it out, but they won't carry it out, but they have to have a business in between you and the government to carry it out. Well, if we can make it profitable for a business, then we can do it. But no business is going to do it unless we can make it profitable for them. So it's on hold until we can figure out a way where business, where we can contract it, you know, that service out, blah, 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 blah. So everything is measured in terms of can we get a business in there that can profit from it? And if so, we'll give the contract to them. Government responsibility, period, is being contracted out to private corporations to run. And guess what's next on the agenda? Public schools. If it used to be public, the future is going to be private. run. And all I ask you to remember is what I said earlier about the difference in mission of these two entities, businesses and government. Two different things, aren't they? But what we're seeing now is an effort to privatize public education. There have always been private schools. I've never gone to one. I'm sure some people out here probably have, but I haven't. So I can't really speak on what goes on. I've talked to students who've gone to private schools. I've heard people say you can't fail in Yale unless you try. The only way to fail in Yale is you have to work hard at it. I think that's what they say, something like that. The only way to fail in Yale is you have to work hard at it. Well, the people who can afford there to go there, or as we've seen in the news lately, in the last year, people who can afford to pay their way in there and get their diplomas and whatnot, or whatever, their documents, can get into these private schools, sail through these private schools. However, they're private schools. They're run by private corporations. And so they're run for the shareholders, the stockholders, whatever they call them now, their board of governors or whatever they want to call them. They're running it for profit because it's a private business and it only makes sense. You don't get into business for the fun of it. And so it doesn't surprise me that you can pay your way into a private business. It doesn't surprise me that you can buy your documents, your PhDs, because they run the thing ultimately at this foundation is run to make money. And in a private enterprise, if it don't make money, it don't make sense. On the other hand, a public institution doesn't have that obligation. They don't have to turn a profit, right? They have to spend money wisely, yes, but they don't have to turn a profit. They're not every quarter. Here's the thing. Right now, they're introducing something called charter schools. Right now, they're introducing something called vouchers. And they're encouraging you. The spiel is that you will be able to send your kid to whatever school you like with a voucher. He doesn't have to go to the local public school. He can go to any school he wants. He got a voucher. So that's giving you options that you didn't know you had previously. And so here's how it works, guys. All of a sudden now, you're going to hear more and more horror stories about public schools. And everybody's heard them. You finna hear some more. Public schools ain't got this. Public schools don't have that. Shooting is at public schools. They find lead in the water in public school fountains. Their public school system is being run improperly. So we're firing everybody. Whatever. If it's a scandal. Everything you can think of to make public schools look like they're failing, and they sure look like it, then you finna hear it. Why? Because private corporations have found a way that providing public education for the government to be profitable, just like private prisons. They found a way. Now, with private prisons, I can tell you what, check this out. Private prison goes to a rural town. Ain't no jobs in that town. The prisons, we provide hundreds of jobs, a couple of hundred jobs as prison guards, et cetera, if we can set a prison up in your town. And so the people say, okay, well, we need jobs. And so there's only one stipulation. Our private prison can't make money unless it has a certain number of prisoners at all times. Can you guarantee us a minimum number of inmates? You believe that, guys? You think I'm making that up? Towns that want a prison bad enough to make it profitable. You see, businesses have to make a cost-benefit analysis. They're not bringing a prison to your town for the fun of it. It's a business. And prison and private prisons get paid by the head, like cattle, by the numbers of prisoners. $99 a day for a max prisoner. That's what it used to be. I don't know what it is now. The Corrections Corporation of America, CCA, is what it used to be called. I think it's got a new name now. CCA, Wackenhut, Pinkertons. There's a lot of these different private prisons out there. Now, they're getting government contracts to run the jails, run the prisons. And so now they got them, and they're running for a profit, and they'd let these little towns know if you want a prison, you're going to have to provide prisoners. And a certain number of them was not profitable for us. And you have local municipalities agreeing to that. Check that out. You get paid by the head, by cattle, when you're a private prison. And so if you don't have inmates, you don't make money. The government ain't gonna cut that check. And if you got a two-man cell, if you can put double bunks in there and make it out of a four-man cell, you can get more heads in there. And like I said, you get paid like cattle by the head. And so the more people you got in there and the longer you can keep them in there, as long as the local judge can enforce mini-max sentences, minimum maximum sentences, three strikes you out, turn what used to be misdemeanors into felonies, they can keep you in there for a while. Because when they let you free, that's money gone down the drain. That's money walking out the door when you've done your time or you've gotten probation or parole or something, you just walked away. You got to be replaced. Because there's money going out the door to a private business. Prisoners coming in, that's when you're making the money. Motivations change based on reasons for being of these institutions, of these organizations. Government versus private. Now, your children's education is what, if you're thinking about your kids' education, and you're thinking about sending them to a charter or a private school, a business, a school business, I want you to think about something. When I come back, I'm going to tell you what they do at my school. I'll be right back, guys. I'm going to get you a little music. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. I want to welcome everybody who's tuning in, has tuned in. We're getting close to our call-in session. I got one more little story to tell you and to wrap up my point of view here on this situation, and then I'm going to open up my lines. But for now, guys, I want to give you a little story about my local university, which I'm an alumni, and they have something called a career day, right? Parents come onto the campus, students come in to talk to people, possible employers, that kind of thing. And people dress up for it, you know, put a suit and tie on maybe, something like that. And so the school sells itself to parents by advertising the fact that they have meticulously gone out around the country and spoke to corporations and industries and asked them a list of queries, a list of questions. And some of those questions are, what would you like or would need in tomorrow's worker? What traits, what kind of worker is tomorrow's worker that the industries are asking for, looking for? We want to know what they saw the next generation of workers looking like, being like. What knowledge do they need? What education do they need, et cetera, et cetera? So they go out and they sit down and ask these questions of industry leaders out there. And then they're proud of this. And they come back and they will say, we've gone out, done interviews and collected data from industries all over the country. And based on their answers to these questions, what do they look for in tomorrow's worker as a general topic, we've fashioned our curricula to meet those needs so that your child will be ready for the future world of work when they graduate. So everybody's happy because their child is going to be ready to get out there and hit it if this school does what it says it does, right? And so they taught the fact, they raised the fact, they sell the fact that their curricula, what did I just tell you? That these guys have just got through telling you that the curricula, what your kid is going to learn when he comes to school, it doesn't matter what he's interested in. It doesn't matter what you're interested in him growing up to be one day. The education that they're going to provide that kid is the education that private corporations have asked for. No more, no less. Think about it. Your child is going to get an education, not a well-rounded education, you know, with all the, what do you call them, all of the humanities. Here's the thing, guys, especially if you think I'm making this up or something. The promotion now, and they've started it already, is to create STEM schools. And to concentrate on STEM, S-T-E-M, skills in today's worker, in tomorrow's worker. Now, you know, some of you may know, that STEM, S-T-E-M, is an abbreviation, is an acronym, I guess, for science, technology, engineering, and math. Science, technology, engineering, and math. Now, great skills to have, aren't they? In exclusion of history, literature, exclusion of music, an exclusion of art theory, an exclusion of humanities, the liberal arts. That's out the window. That's out the window. They're teaching your kid to be a scientist, a technologist. Ain't that great? An engineer. Let me tell you something about these people. Math and math. Expert in math, mathematician. Let me tell you something about technicians, because I'm one. I'm one of those people myself. All right. My major was IT, and I ran my own computer repair company, repairing computers. Now, check this out. And I repaired them in university as well. And so, because not only did I go to the university, I also was an employee of the university. Okay, so, and as a technician, I'm a technician, guys. And let me tell you what a technician, let me tell you how a technician thinks. Somebody who's into their tech. You know what I'm talking about, techies. What do they call them? These techie guys, what do they got? They got a name for it. I forget the name right now. But here I go. I get a job. I get a computer that's messing up left and right. It won't show a picture. The video won't straighten out. Now it won't boot. So it come to me. I get to working on this computer, man. And I tell you, for the life of me, with all my training and everything I've done on this computer, switch parts out, all that, this thing still won't work. Do you know I worked with that computer damn near till the sun came up. And I finally went and got some rest. And of course, it's happened to me a million times. Of course, after I woke up from the rest, I figured it out. But instead of me resting earlier, maybe I should have done that. But I could not take my head up from that computer. That job, that issue, that problem, that technical issue stayed on my mind and kept me going all night long and kept my attention. That's a technician, guys. We troubleshooters. We're going to find out why this thing don't work. And we're going to find out how to make it work. We're going to find out. And we stay up all night trying. You put a technician in a lab. You give a technician a grant. He's happy. He's happy. He's going to fulfill. He's going to go into research into something he loves. He's going in that laboratory and he's going to shut that. They got cots in these laboratories, guys. They got cots. I've been in them. And they have cots. They got tennis courts. They don't want you to go home. And these guys don't go. Tell you about technicians, man. When we get on a job, we stick to that thing. If we can't figure that problem out, it's going to worry us all day long until we figure it out. Before we give up on it. That's just the nature of the beast. We, our family, everybody will be on hold for a minute. Because we're going to figure this out. So technicians, guys, they'll drop their head. They'll look down. They ain't interested in politics. They're not interested in government. That ain't their issue. They're interested in whatever assignment, whatever research grant they just got. And they'll go in the laboratory and shut the door and you won't see them for a while. That's what they want. Scientists, technicians, engineers, and mathematicians. Ask Einstein, Albert, ask Oppenheimer, did they know they were making a nuclear weapon when they invented the atomic bomb? When they did all the research on how to split an atom, did they know that millions of citizens in Japan after the war was over would have an atomic weapon dropped on them that they made, that they created the science for. Some of them have publicly said that they regret having worked on this thing. But that's the nature of scientists, man. They don't ask no questions. Give them a job, give them a problem to solve, and they're happy. I mean, they're fulfilled. They're going to go after that problem, and that's going to be their life until they solve it. That's just the nature of people who are in those particular skills. Now, I said that to say this. If you're just teaching kids, people, to go out and find somebody to work for, if you teach them that their goal in life is to how to get a job, then that's all they're going to do the rest of their life. Sell their labor for money. Sell their mental and physical labor for money. They see everybody else doing it, they're going to do it. And they got a whole system out there to teach you how to land that job. Or you got all kinds of folks out there teaching you how to land. They were teaching us and they were teaching us to fill out applications the proper way. And so when it got down to the part where the application asks what pay did I expect, the instructor says the smart thing is to leave that blank. So they're just teaching me how to get a job, guys. That's all. And that's what they're going to teach your kids, how to get a good job. And that's what it's all about. See, in my family, nobody had graduated until my generation came along. Mom and dad, they just worked all their lives, sharecropping, my grandmother, them. And so they didn't have much of an education. They couldn't help me with my homework or nothing like that. I had to work it out. But the next generation came along, and we graduated, some of us. But my family was happy as they could be. I had a high school diploma. As far as they were concerned, a high school diploma was it. If you got a high school diploma, that meant you can get a good job. And getting a good job was the goal. I don't care if it was, you know, stacking boxes in a warehouse. It'll allow me to get some credit. If I can get some credit, I might end up with a house note, a car note, and 2.5 kids. And they'll say, well, Kyle, Gary's doing good. It doesn't matter what my goals in life were. It didn't matter what I was interested in. And 30 years later, when I retire, then I realize I never got a chance to do what I wanted to do because I was too busy feeding kids. Now, which is fine, but they taught me to get a job. That's what my parents did. And that was their goal. Not to run anything, not to be the manager of anything, not to be the owner of anything. So they're not teaching leadership. When they take liberal arts, when they take history, and when they take the humanities out of your school, you can forget a well-rounded education. And when a private institution whose goal is money, profit, or it's no use being in business if it's not, then they might have to cut back on some things. You might have to do what schools are doing now where teachers are having to pay for stuff, pencils and paper and all that. Your parents, you're going to have to pay for these things. You know, I dissected a frog in high school. Didn't cost me a dime. Now they tell me the parents have to send some money in for you to get that frog to digest. Money they don't have. Anyway, guys, private institutions ain't going to swindle no money on your kid. That ain't their goal, to educate your kid. It just ain't in their founding documents. It ain't their statement of purpose. The public education system, yeah. And their statement of purpose, whether they carry it out or not, is to educate your kid. And you can argue about it. You can fight with the public, the superintendent of schools and all that. You can go and argue about their education and everything. You can go to Parent-Teacher Association. But when a private business takes over that school, you can forget PTA. You can forget sports, probably, because anything that costs them insurance, if some kid gets hurt or something, they're not going to risk that. They take risk assessments. So I just want to bring that to you guys tonight. Just keep in mind, in every aspect of your life, but even in education, before you turn something that is used to be public to now private, it loses its public purpose and goals. But you make up your mind whether you want your kid to go to a for-profit university or a public one. That's going to be on you. Be a good idea to look at who is educating your kids and to what end, so they can go find somebody to work for. Or do they lead? Are they building leaders out there, guys? Are they building sheep out there? All right. We're into our call-in section, guys. Our phone number is area code 319-527-6060, 319-527-6060. I'm going to open up my chat room. So anybody who would like to put something in a chat, they'd be free to go down and type in our chat. Specifically, if you're an educator, I'd like to hear from you, especially public schools. And I'm going to give you a little music. And now it's your time to shine. You got my number.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just want to come.
Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We get all our life from a revolutionary point of view, and revolutionary ain't nothing but change, guys. Change is inevitable. The revolutionary just wants to stay on the vanguard of that change. And change is coming. Reactionary tries to hold it back. But change is coming. You just need to be on the, you just need to keep your finger on the pulse so you can ride the wave and not get slapped down by it. That's all. I am a technician, and they want to teach your kids science, technology. They want them to be scientists, technicians, engineers, and they ain't got nothing against these guys. But they ain't political. They ain't, I told you, as a technician, I can promise you, you give me a grant, you give me a problem to solve, you can shut the doors and put a card in there and a bottle and a cup of coffee pot. And I'll live there until I figure that sucker out. It's just the nature of being a troubleshooter. It's just the nature of being a technician. Ask Albert Einstein if he could, and Oppenheimer. Did they know they were building an atomic bomb? No, they were going to kill thousands of people, innocent people, women, children, in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. No, they were in that laboratory, man. They was on that bulletin. They was on that blackboard. They were cutting up them formulas and working out these problems. They had no idea. Technicians just don't get political like that. Often, I should say. Ask Albert Einstein, ask Oppenheimer, technicians, scientists, mathematicians. They don't know what industry is going to do with the things that they're producing. Oftentimes, there's some guys working right now on a chip implant being offered by Elon Musk of Tesla cars fame. Elon Musk now has a chip that he puts, that you can put under your, at your head, in your head, behind your ear. I think it goes right behind the ear. It's supposed to help you remember, I guess it's supposed to help you be smarter or something. They're technicians. Elon Musk didn't make that chip. Elon Musk ain't working on that chip right now. Them some technicians. Them some scientists. Them some engineers. Them some mathematicians. When they find out what the chip finally does and how it's actually being used, they might be upset. They might not. I don't know. But they're not building leaders out there, guys. They're not building leaders. They're just trying to teach your kid to go out and find somebody they can work for. Somebody else's dream to build. I told you, right here on Revolutionary Life, that at my school on career day, they sold the parents on the fact that their curricula was built around corporate interests. They allowed the fact that they went out and talked to industry and asked them what kind of worker do they need, what does that future worker looks like. And they brought that data back and correct and made their curriculum around that data. Tell me they ain't grooming your kid to find somebody to work for. Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary, and we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight, we're talking about education. We're talking about the educational system. We're talking about public education. See, I think I'm qualified. I can't talk about private schools. I've never gone to one. But I can tell you about public education inside and out, I think. I can talk about public education. And I told you that with the advent, privatization of government services, schools are going to be one of them. Instead of your government providing you an education, a rounded education, your education is going to be tailored. I told you, man, my school raises the fact, loud the fact, sells the fact, that it has built this curricula around the needs of corporations solely. And so liberal arts out the window, humanities out the window, science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM is on the agenda now. Listen, I have a friend of mine who's a PhD in computer also, and he went to a convention. He was doing computer research. And these guys were working on the future. It was more research and development type computing. And he loved it because it was abstract at the time, some of the ideas, some of the theories they were working on. And he liked that abstract stuff. Is random really random and all that kind of thing. And so he hopped a plane, went to this convention of his fellow scientists. When I met him when he got back, and I asked him, how did that convention go? And he said they have taken away the research grant. not just taken it away, they've reallocated the research money. They can't find money for the experimental research that they were doing. And so the only money that's available now from corporations and research grants sources is applied computing, applied technology. You know what that applied word mean, guys? When you hear applied technology or applied computing and that kind of thing, they mean they're putting money in only in projects that's going to turn out something quickly enough that they can put on the shelf and sell. If you're working on something that in the next year or two, they can introduce to the public for sale, then you're losing your grant money. There is no any research into abstract theory, computer theory, any money for that at the time was being taken away, and all the money grants were put in applied sciences. When you hear applied sciences, that means that you are getting grants for producing something they can put on the shelf and sell next year, at least next year, or the year, maybe the year after. But if you ain't working on something that they can produce and sell right away, quickly as possible, put out there, you wouldn't spend any money. Research. Ha. Abstract theory. Computer theory. That money gone. That money's over at applied. Keep your eyes on applied sciences. I don't know if you've heard of that term before, but it's out there. And that's what it means, guys. That's all it means. If you ain't making something that I can sell tomorrow, you know, not tomorrow, but say next year, put out there next year, then you don't get grant money. So it's upset. My friend was upset coming back from the convention, finding out all the funding was gone or switched over to applied science. But corporations and other people who provide grants, that's what they wanted. And either you quit or you got involved and got that money and made them some little technology thing that they could put on TV tomorrow and said, this thing will solve all your problems. Just plug it in and boom, 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 boom. Back pain, great internet, buy now, 50% off. They looking for something they can throw out there tomorrow. And if you ain't working on that, you ain't getting grant money. They're running this thing. And the educational system seems to be going along with it. And now, they're just going to privatize the whole thing. If you ever seen a school do a Heinz ketchup commercial. Not a commercial. Do a Heinz ketchup laboratory test as part of their school curricula. You know that Heinz ketchup funded that test. Serious, a serious exercise provided by Heinz. Catch it. Y'all don't hear me. They finna teach your kids, yeah. Oh, yeah. But if they're teaching leaders, leaders need to know world history. Leaders need to understand economies, governments, history of governments. Statistically inclined, they just plug. Unless they're in commercial art or commercial designs. Yeah, if they're making commercials, they're making signs for businesses, and logos and whatnot, they might find a place. I don't know when they'll get a chance to express their artistic aspirations, maybe at home somewhere. But ain't nobody hiring that. Out there. My line's open. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. My chat room is open. If you put something in the chat, I will certainly respond to that. If you call me, you're going straight on the air. There's no intermediate. Everybody will hear what you have to say, and everyone will hear my response. It's your time to shine.
Thank you.
You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We look at every aspect of life from a revolutionary point of view. This ain't nothing but change, and Lord have mercy. There's some things that are changing out there, guys. And there's some things that need changing. I told you, you're about to hear every horror story they can come up with about public schools. And they'll get you. They always do this. They'll get you first with the terror and terrible situation with public schools. People getting shot in public schools. They're not getting a good education in public schools. Public schools are underfunded. Well, funding them will ensure that they will struggle to educate those kids with what little money or opportunities they can provide them based on what resources they have. I've heard stories of teachers going out buying resources for their classrooms, the teacher, and public schools. And so, public schools are going away, and they're making sure they go away by defunding them, underfunding them, and you know, every horror story they can think of about public schools they can come up with, you're going to hear about. Get ready, because we're going private. Oh, they're going to sell you vouchers, man. They're going to sell you on charters, man. They're going to sell you on sending your kid to a private institution for their education that is for profit, not for education. Its statement of purpose, its reason for being, its charter will be for a for-profit effort. Make a profit, they'll close it down. Why are you going to do a business if you can't make money? They can do private education and they can make money from it. And they will. Yours. Or wherever they can get it. Government contracts, etc. And so, you'll make a choice. If you haven't heard them all yet, you will hear the horror stories about schools. And you may have to make a choice. You know, we're going to give you these vouchers. Send your kid to whatever school you want to. I don't know if the voucher will cover every school you want to, but you have choices now. There's a private school over here. There's a privately run school over there. They teach STEM over here. There's a whole STEM school. Speak for STEM. Science, technology, engineering, mathematics, math. We're getting your kid ready for the world work out there. Corporations say they need this kind of worker. We got to create that kind of worker for them. So your kid can get a job. A job. Slaves had jobs, guys. Don't let politicians, corporations, businesses sell you on we're going to bring jobs. I told you the little towns that accepted these private prisons were going to get jobs working in the prison. When no jobs in town. Now this private prison going to be a prison in your town. They're going to need to be guards and stuff, so they're going to have jobs for people. So in the name of jobs, you let them build a prison in your town. Now the only stipulation they have is that it needs to have a certain minimum population. Why? Because when you're in a private prison, you get paid by the head, like cattle. And if you don't have enough prisoners, you're not making enough money to run a prison. And so the local town had to assure them. Can you believe this guy? I couldn't. He had to assure the corporation that they would keep a certain amount of prisoners in that prison at all times. Or the corporation wouldn't have come. It wouldn't have been profitable. They get paid by the head, by cattle. And so they need a lot of heads. They need a lot of people in those prisons to make the maximum amount of money. So if it's a two-cell prison for two prisoners, they'll put a double bunk in there and put four prisoners in that small cell. Economy, you know. If there's libraries in a prison, out the window. If there's an opportunity for schools, education, GED in prison, we ain't got time for that. We warehousing over here. And we get paid by the head. So we need more heads. I know people breaking the law out there. Get them in this prison. So some of these towns are institute debtor prisons. Did you know there was, did you know that in the 21st century, there's debtor prisons? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They can come get you in Arkansas if you've been behind on rent. They can come get you. Dude, put you in a workhouse. 1129. There's certain states that can come get you, man, if you don't pay your bills. This is straight out of the 18th century, man. Debtor prisons. Obama outlawed them. Trump opened them back up again. All right, so education is what we're talking about, but I'm just saying, guys, when you turn public services over to private business to run, you've changed the motivation for running the thing. Different statement of purpose, different reason for being. And that's education or any other public service, running the government, running the army. You know, they got mercs, man. Private armies that the government can hire. You over there in Afghanistan with the U.S. military, and you see these armed guys come in. Halliburton, you see corporations bringing armed guys in there. These guys ain't military. These guys ain't no part of the U.S. military. They're part of Blackwater, what used to be called Blackwater, a private army. Let's tell it like it is. Mercs, man. Nothing but mercenaries. Soldiers of fortune. All in our mix. Corporations are all up in our mix. And now they're going to take over your kids' education. They're going to be doing Heinz ketchup experiments. Because it's funded by Heinz. I, in my university, pre-med students were crying when it was time for tests, because they had this big-ass book that they had to go through to memorize, and most of them trying to memorize, mostly medications. I'm looking at this book that they are dreading over, pulling the hair, making all kinds of notes, and the whole thing is about drugs and the drug and when to administer them and their effects. The medical school at my university is funded by pharmaceutical companies. It's their primary education. It's pills, man, drugs, and their effects and their usages. Y'all don't hear me, man. Careful. You want education, yes. But education in what? By who? For what purpose? To what end? You see, there's a lot of word about robots taking their jobs and the new AI, artificial intelligence, replacing workers. Robots going to take over, all that stuff. They don't want robots. Forget about that. AI is not going to take over anything. These robots, I don't care how smart they are, they can't beat you. They want you to be a robot. Y'all don't hear me. Elon Musk is making a chip to go in the back of your ear. Somehow, I guess it's supposed to help you be more alert or intelligent or remember stuff. But it was advertised, and it showed where it goes right behind the ear. And he has scientists, technicians, engineers, and mathematicians, STEM graduates working on it. They have no idea what the government or Musk or private corporations or whatever are going to do with that chip once it's in your head. If they do something nefarious, well, these scientists will lament it later, like Oppenheimer, like Albert Einstein lamented the atomic bomb after they helped create it. But that's the way technicians are, man. I'm one of them. I know how that is. These are grand and a problem solved. And I'll set up a cart. I'll tell my family, I'll see y'all later. I got to figure this out. We get into things. We troubleshoot. And it'll take us, you know, and we're happy when we're in a situation like that, that we're fulfilled. And so we need those kinds of people. I love what I do. I just get preoccupied with it, especially if I run into a problem. It's the nature of being a tech guy. Anyway, my lines are still open. I got a little bit more time. It's your time to shine. My chat room is open as well. Anybody got any comments, you're free to enter our chat room or call us. Our area code is 319. The phone number is 527-6060. We got a little time left. We better catch it before it's gone. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life, guys. My name is Gary. I'm here every weekday night here on Block Talk Radio from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. East Central Standard Time. Tonight we've been talking about education. I'm an educator. I attended public schools, primary, secondary schools. All right. And I gave you a little bit about my how my university went about doing things. And in terms of fashioning their curricula around corporate interests, corporate needs, corporate suggestions, or whatever, opinions, desires for the future worker. I told you just now that don't worry about this AI and robots taking over thing. They don't want robots to be like you. They want you to be like robots. You know, I haven't figured out the AI thing yet, guys. They can't get it right. There used to be, there's always been, I think, probably since they've been making automobiles, let's say, there's always been recalls where they do something wrong and they have to recall the vehicle. Sometimes you can just go to your local mechanic and get that situation fixed. Sometimes it's more serious than that. And they have to recall all the vehicles that was made on that line, on that production line, because it has a defect. Now, today, when they do a recall, they recall millions of vehicles back. They don't recall thousands of vehicles back. They recall millions sometimes because of a defect. You know why that is, guys? Now a defect, without a human being on that line, one computer can get out of calibration. And before somebody notices it and recalibrate, stop that machine, and recalibrate these computers so that they're making wells and everything where they're supposed to, somehow they got knocked out of calibration. Before somebody figures it out, thousands of cars are going down the way, down the line. Everything else is put in them and put on them, and they don't put it. We send it out to you to drive. And somebody realized, oh, this thing is an inch or two off. So it's not sealing your brake pedal the way it should have. We need to call this car back, all these cars. When a computer goes, when these robots make mistakes, they make lots of mistakes. If somebody catches them, they make lots of mistakes. We see millions of cars being called now. Not just 1,000 or 100,000, millions. Figure this thing out, yeah. And so, I want robots to act like you. They want you to act like robots. You're living a revolutionary life. This is Gary. We're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Central Standard Time. And you never know what the subject's going to be, but it's going to be something that affects our lives one way or another every day. And we're going to take a revolutionary look at it. And it might be diametrically opposed to the way it is right now, but that's okay, because revolution ain't nothing but change. What it means. Sometimes it's radical change. But it's changed nonetheless. Revolutionaries just keep their pulse, fingers on the pulse. That's why. Because we like to be on the vanguard of changes. We like to ride waves, not get slapped down and taken under. That's all. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. And just remember, if you missed this session, if you missed this episode, if you caught half of it or whatever, if you'd like to hear this episode again, all of my episodes, going back a while, are in, on demand. They're all archived. You can pull them up by subject matter, by topic, because we just, I think, covered just about everything. And you can hear this one, the one we've done tonight, in about an hour. It'll be on demand as well. Thank you again. I wish everybody have a wonderful evening, rest of the evening, evening here. And I'll see you tomorrow, 7 p.m. Standard Time. Thank you again, guys. Revolutionary Life, signing off. Good night.